Thank you. You may be seated. We live in a fast society today. Everybody's in a hurry. And we hate to wait. I know I do. I hate to wait in line. I'm sure you do. We hate to wait in traffic. We hate to wait 9 months for a baby. We hate to wait in a doctor's office. Somebody said not long ago that doctors ought to replace all the magazines in their offices and replace them with cell phone chargers. It'd be a lot more effective that way. And, you know, we hate to wait. And yet we live in a day and time where we also live in a paradox of faith. We base our lives on things that we have never seen. We've never seen Father God or Jesus Christ, his Son, or the Holy Spirit of God. We've never seen heaven. We've never seen hell. We've never seen the writers of the Bible. Yet we believe all of these things. We base our lives on things we've never seen. We bank our lives and our eternal destiny on things that we have never seen. And so today, as we go into this fourth message on this series, Living by Faith, we've talked about the worshiping by faith, walking by faith, witnessing by faith. Today, we talk about waiting by faith, and we see the tremendous pattern of this in the life of Abraham, as we've read here in Hebrews 11. Abraham's life was totally characterized by faith. In fact, God said in Genesis 15:16 that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham did not become one of God's own by his works, by all the things that he did. He trusted God. He believed God, and God saved him. We are not saved today by our good deeds, by our personalities, by our glibness, by our church affiliation. We are saved the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says you'll be saved. So a person gets saved today by believing the gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. So Abraham was declared righteous because of faith. And all through his life, from that point he believed in God, he acted on faith. And I want to share with you a few things this morning, in the few minutes that we have, about his faith that I think we can apply to our own lives. First of all, we see his pilgrimage of faith, or his journey by faith. It says in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, that by faith Abraham, when he is called to go to a place which he should later, sometime later, received for inheritance, he obeyed, not knowing where he was going. He went, even though he did not know where he was going. So we see his submission to God. Abraham was called to go somewhere that God wanted him to go, but he didn't know where. God said, Abraham, I'm going to reach down into this idolatrous culture you live in, Ur of the Chaldees, and I'm going to call you to a special place in my plan. You're going to go with me where I want you to go, and I'm not going to tell you where it is. You just got to trust me. And God took him from Ur of the Chaldees all the way to Palestine, a trip of over 600 miles, not by train or airplane, maybe perhaps by camel, but it was a long, arduous, very dangerous trip. But Abraham was called to go somewhere, but he didn't know where, similar to us, who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He calls us out, and he wants us to follow him to wherever he is leading. Abraham was so obedient to God that he didn't even think about or worry about where he was going. He just lived a life of obedience. Same kind of thing that God calls you and me to do. So as we look at his submission to the call, we also see the sovereignty of God's call. Abraham was raised, Joshua tells us, in a pagan home, in a pagan culture. He lived in an unregenerate world, a vile an idolatrous culture of paganism where nobody knew God. They all worshiped false gods and false deities. A terrible, terrible land if you analyze the history of that world. And yet God reached down in the midst of all this corruption, in the midst of all the idolatry and all the evilness, he reached down and saw this man, Abraham, and he chose him to establish an entire nation where he would send forth his truth and his love. He said, Abraham, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to take you to, and I'm going to bless you, bless your family. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you, but I'm going to make a great nation out of you. So he forsook his birthplace. He forsook his home. He forsook his estate. He severed all of his family ties. He left all of his loved ones. He abandoned his present habits for a future of uncertainty, to go where God wanted him to go, where he knew nothing about it. And yet God chose him, and he believed God. And so we see from all of that, as he submitted to God, as God's sovereign, God can do what he wants because he's God, we see his separation from the world. A life of faith, you see, begins with a break from the idolatrous system in which you have lived all of your life. It's a new kind of life. A believer in Jesus Christ must always go upstream against the culture of the day. We must always go against the grain because God's words, he says, his thoughts and his ways are high above our thoughts and ways. In fact, God says his thoughts and ways, as high as the heaven is from the earth, he says his thoughts and his ways are high above ours. So you must go against all of that if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. Salvation, you see, demands separation. Abraham had to, if he was going to follow God, he had to be separated from his pagan culture and all of the disastrous influences, just like you and me. It's the beginning of a life of faith in which we don't know where it's going to take us. If we follow God, we don't know where we're going to go, really. But if we follow him, he'll lead us, and he'll be there with us all the way. He tells us, as Margie read a few moments ago in Romans 12, to be not conformed to this world system. Don't be conformed to this way of thinking, this way of living. But let your mind be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says, come out from the world system and show them what God thinks, what God wants to do. He said in James chapter 4, verse 4, that if we're friends with the world system, we cannot be the friend of God. We must turn away from the world system. 1 John 2:15, he says, love not the world. For any person that has the love of the world system in him, the love of the Father cannot be in him. So it's a pilgrimage that we start on when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a whole different life. It's a life that's totally devoted to him, to follow him wherever he may lead us. I certainly, when I was saved as a boy of 13, had no idea where God might take me, what he might do. Never knew that he would call me into ministry and serve him as I have these last several years. And perhaps you could give that same kind of testimony. So as we look at his life, as we go from the pilgrimage, we see the patience of faith. It says in verses 9 and 10 there, that by faith he made his home in the promised land like a pilgrim, okay, like a stranger in a foreign country. So we see the pattern. Abraham was transient. Even after he reached the land of promise, very interesting as you read that in detail, even as he reached the land of promise, he never received the promise. God didn't say, okay, you're here now, let me bless you. He never did. He lived in tents like an alien, like a foreigner, all of his life. He never owned the land. God never physically gave it to him. We're like Abraham, folks. He gives us the pattern of how to wait by faith. We're pulled out of the world when we trust him as our personal Savior with the promise of heaven. He says, one day I'm preparing a land for you, a place for you. One day I'm going to get you there. But you see, we've been serving the Lord, many of us, for many years, and we've not yet gotten there. You see, when you wait for the Lord, you've got to wait for God's timing. It cannot be in your timing. It cannot be when you want it to be. It cannot be how you think it ought to be done or when it ought to be done. It's God's timing. We've got to follow how God wants it done, when God wants it done. You see, we need to exhibit his promise. And this is amazing. When you read Acts 7:5, he says there that Abraham was promised, and all of his descendants were promised to possess the land. So I've got a land for you, and you're going to possess it. Even though at that time, Abraham was over 70 years old, and he had no children. He said, you and your descendants are going to possess the land. So God put Abraham to the test. Though he waited patiently, he never saw God's promises fulfilled. I'm sure through those years there must have been doubts, must have been worries, there must have been fears, there must have been hopelessness. All of those years, day after day after routine day, God says, here's the promise. Follow me. We get impatient quickly, don't we? Sometimes, God, I've been waiting a couple of days and you haven't done it yet. Or maybe a couple of weeks. Or maybe a couple of years and God still hasn't done it. And we think that's way too long. But you see, the hardest times, ladies and gentlemen, are the in-between times. The hardest times to wait for God to fulfill his promise. It's hard for us right now as we wait to get through this process for God to bring a new leader here. But you see, the picture in God's mind is much bigger than just bringing a pastor. God said in Hebrews 12, verse 1, you're surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. He said, but understand this, set aside every hindrance and the sin of unbelief, he says, and set forth, run the race that God has set before you. Do what God would have you to do in the midst of all the doubt. And he says in James 1 that God, testing and trials, is what develops perseverance in us, patience in us. He says, let perseverance have its perfect work so that you may be complete and mature, wanting nothing. You see, God takes his time sometimes because he wants to do a work in us. While we go through the process, God is doing things in us to mature us and to make us more like Jesus Christ. It's hard to work. It's hard to wait. It's hard to watch because we cannot see what is happening. Don't judge it by what you see right now. Realize and trust God that God is in control. God is on the throne. God is going to do what only he can do. And we must learn to trust God, to take it a day at a time, to believe God because he is maturing us, to make us what God wants us to be. So when it's time for him to bring it all to pass, it'll work just the way he wants it to work. Abraham understood that. But you see, he had the right perspective. In fact, verse 10, it tells us he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham wasn't looking down. He wasn't looking at his circumstances. He wasn't looking at all the things happening around him. He wasn't looking at people and what they thought, what they said. He was looking up. You see, he was patient because he knew heaven was waiting. He knew he was going there. He believed God, he trusted God, and he lived his life with an eternal perspective, realizing it's not just about now. It's just not about these things here. God's got a much bigger plan, and he's got a bigger plan for you. He's got a bigger plan for this church. Thirdly, we see the power of faith. Verse 11, it talks about Abraham, it talks about Sarah. Here's this old couple now. They've been serving God for 25 years almost. And they've been trusting God's promise that he's going to give them a child. Now think about it, all right? Up in their 70s, 80s, 90s now, trusting God to give them a child. But faith is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. It sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. It touches the intangible and it accomplishes the impossible. God said in many places, Jesus said, Matthew 19:26, Mark 9:23, Luke 18:27, Matthew 17. He said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There's nothing too hard for God, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. You see, faith works miracles. God told Abraham, I'm going to raise up a nation. I know you're in your 70s, but I'm going to give you a child. Well, the years went by. Year after year after year after year. He served God. He lived his life. He went through the routine, and no child came. It was humanly impossible for Abraham, 99, Sarah, 90, to have a child. One day God came and sent some messengers to Abraham and Sarah, and he said, 9 months from now, you're going to have a child through Sarah. And Sarah laughed, as how many 90-year-olds wouldn't, right? 90 years old. He says, she's going to have a child. She laughed and says, Sarah, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yeah, you did. But God didn't say this, but I think he was thinking, but I'm going to have the last laugh. Can you imagine, ladies, having a child at 90 years of age? I think of this little baby here. And I think my wife had 4 children. We've had 11 grandchildren. I think of that. What a beautiful son. But I cannot imagine a 90-year-old woman having a child. And yet God said, this is what's going to happen. 9 months later, that's exactly what happened. And God said, he blessed this man Abraham, though he was dead. He meant dead and having children. As far as child raising, child having, Abraham was dead. How many 99-year-old men can sire children? But God says he gave him as many as the stars in the sky. His descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Millions and millions have come to God through Abraham's, as a result of Abraham's faith. You see, faith is powerful. I ask you the question today. Do you believe God for miraculous things? Can you believe God for great things today? Can you believe God for things that are beyond your imagination? Or do you limit God into just what you can see and what you can think and what you believe? Or do you really understand that God is much greater than that? You see, nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for God. There is nothing that's impossible for God. The power of faith. Then we read of the positivism of faith. So positive. We read of our security. He says there in verses 13 to 16 that all the people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and they welcomed them from a distance. But they admitted that they were aliens and strangers in this world. You see, we can be happy to be aliens on earth because we know there's a positive end to our faith. We can live by faith because we know God has something greater for us at the end of this life. Call themselves aliens, refugees, strangers, literally people who were hated and many times treated with contempt. But a stranger, a pilgrim, is just passing through. That's what you and I are doing. This isn't our home. This isn't our permanent place. This is a temporary place. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're only passing through this world. So he said, if they look behind, he talked about those people. He said, if they looked behind at the old country, they would have the opportunity to go back. In other words, he said, if they had looked backwards instead of keep looking forward, they would have never gotten where they needed to get. And I say that to you. The past is past. We cannot change it. We cannot alter it. Good, bad, or indifferent, we cannot look back. We've got to go forward. That's where God has us. Heaven is real, and we can be sure about it. God has a tremendous future for this church. And so if we live with that eternal perspective, the big picture that God has given us, we can be impactful for him. And you see, he gave them a special honor. He said God was not ashamed to call them his children, to be their God. The patriarchs in this story honored God by living by faith. He honored them by being their God. We honor God by living by faith. We bring dishonor to him when we live by sight. We honor him by putting our trust in him. He honors us by being our God. Then lastly, there's the proof of faith. Faith always rises to the challenge. God challenges us this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and every day that we live, to trust him for great things. The years went by. Abraham and Sarah had this boy. They named him Isaac. They loved him. Can't you imagine a 99-year-old father? His whole life was revolving around this young boy. About 15 years went by. Abraham doted on him, I am sure. And then God said, Abraham, get up. Take your son. I want you to go up to the top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice this boy on a burnt offering to me. Now, cannot get into all the things about that, all the different feelings and teachings about it, but just understand, God said, I want you to come and sacrifice this boy, just like all the pagan deities did. And so Abraham, even though it was not something that was done in worshipers of God, he got up, got the supplies ready. They went up, and on the way up, he told his servants, you wait here. The lad and I are going to go up on the mountain to worship God, and we'll be back. So Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac took great faith. Here he is. He says, okay, God, you've told me that you're going to give me and make all of these, this a great nation, all of these descendants, and yet it's going to be through this boy you've given me. Now you tell me, take him up and sacrifice him. What's the deal? I can't imagine the things that must have run through his mind, but he trusted God. It says in Romans 4:20 that he didn't waver. He didn't stagger in unbelief. But he realized that God, who had promised, was able to fulfill the promise. Our passage here in Hebrews tells us that Abraham was going to obey God. He was going to do what God told him to do because he believed that if God had him kill Isaac, God was able to raise him back up from the dead. Now understand, nobody had ever risen from the dead. Abraham was believing that God could do something that had never happened. Many thoughts must have run through his mind. But let me say something to you today. God requires that we put him first. God didn't want Isaac to become more important to Abraham than God himself. So he really puts faith to a test. Patrick, you and Kaylee have made a tremendous commitment here this morning. You're going to raise Declan to really live for God. That's tremendous, a tremendous commitment that's going to require every fiber of your energy as you teach, instruct, and model a faith walk in God. Because you see, God wants to be first. And if we put him first, then everything else. We say, well, how can I love God more than my child? God says, if you love me first, I love your child more than you do. I'll protect him and you. And everything will work out right. Abraham put God first. Abraham was blessed by God. You see, faith always rises to the challenge. And God blesses faith. But faith also requires a choice. We can either cave into our circumstances and be overwhelmed by them, and all the negativity that goes with it, and all the things people are saying and people are feeling, or we can say, God, I trust you. You never change. Your word never changes. Your promises are faithful. We can believe in God and follow God, or we can follow ourselves. Follow our feelings, follow our emotions. You see, God requires us to give him our absolute best. God expects us to respond in obedience and believe that he will take care of us. In fact, he said in Matthew 16:24, if any of you want to be my disciple, you got to deny your own selves, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. That's a decision we must make. That's a decision Abraham made. And that's why Abraham was not only blessed himself, but people who blessed Abraham were blessed. And Abraham has blessed the whole world. You and I are here today, really, because of the faith of Abraham and others like him. Bow your heads with me this morning. I ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time, a place where you invited him into your life as your Lord and your Savior, and you're serving him today? Have you been called by God, and are you following wherever he leads this morning? Are you patiently waiting for him to fulfill his plan in your life, like Abraham? What miracle this morning are you believing God for? Are you positively looking to heaven as your objective, or are you just comfortably living here in this world? Are you sacrificially obeying him? I ask you this morning to answer these questions. At the end of the service, we'll have the prayer care group in the back to pray with you. If you'd like someone to pray with you, you don't know Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to know somebody, we'll tell you how to do that. You just go to the back when we're done with our service. Father, we ask you today to help us. You and you alone are our God. Help us learn to wait for you. Help us learn to wait for you to work out what you want to do in our lives. Bless now. Help us glorify and magnify you. Bless each and every person here today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.